Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the captivating, the hottest ticket in the podcasting world, the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name is Bobby, and along with me is my home skeleton, I think my homeboy, homie, my dude, my bro, my co-host, all the way from Belgium, the Beast from Bruges, my homie, Joachim Blaze. What's going on? Here we go. Let's do this.
Where's the crowd? Yay! Yeah. Thanks for having me again as your co-host. I'm going to introduce our new guest. His name is Miguel, but everybody knows him as Spiny or Pineapples or the Fragging King or the H1 King, or I can keep on going. Spiny, welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you guys both for having me. It is a pleasure to be here on the podcast with you guys.
Stop it, okay? I'm already crying.
Stop! Give him an authentic Bobby introduction, please.
The man who made a lot of competitive H1Z1 possible. The man that drops 40 bombs in Warzone like it's no other. The man with the plan, Pineapples. There we go.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done.
I'm still, for you guys, prior to this recording of this podcast, we were both watching Piney stream. And he dropped his personal record, 42 kills. And we were like, all right, we're good now. We're good now. Let's do this, man. So congratulations on your 42 bomb. You know.
Thank you. So I was hyped.
Very hyped. Could, yes. Yeah, I know it, guys. I saw your amazing new Fortnite dance.
Yeah.
the flex. I was like, yeah. I was motivated. Like, I ran around the block like a couple times. So.
But you ran out of the room, and I was like,
yeah, did he run away to...
Then he ran to Brisa Leah to say, like, I got a 42 bomb, you know?
But, that was intense. And I don't know. So, personally, I want to say from me and Blaze, thank you very much for agreeing to come be a part of this. And whatever platform you guys are listening to it on, you guys, thank you guys and gals very much. And before we go any further, do me a favor. We're going to put all of Piney's information in the description below, but we need for you to shout out your socials, your stream, your sponsor. Go ahead and just shout out your people, shout out your stuff right now before we get going on to the story.
All the codes we need to use for your apparel and your drinks and your underwear and your socks, you know, just go ahead.
So for socials, pretty easy to find me across the board. I'm basically Pineapples on everything, but it's PineaqPles, almost the same spelling, but had to show up differently in the Google search results, so we threw the Q into the mix. Now, the only one that's different is Instagram. It does not have the S at the end. It is Pineapple. I am sponsored by G Fuel Energy. You can use code Pine to save money on your purchases there. And other than that, I don't have any other sponsors, but I'm always looking. So if you're out there and you're like, hey, this guy sounds pretty cool.
You guys slide into his DMs.
Sorry to interrupt you, but didn't you bring out a cool series of t-shirts with this new apparel brand that I never heard of before?
I did. I just recently launched my first since the comeback merchandise collection, the Salt and Pepper set up here with people over at Hidden Apparel. I sell shirts for about $20, hoodies for about $50. They're nice quality, and they don't look like gamer wear. They're more like a streetwear style, so they're pretty slick.
Yeah, so, they look really awesome.
And looking at your Twitter at the same time as we're talking, and if you guys are going to Hidden Apparel? Apparel Hidden? Mm-hmm. Was it Apparel Hidden on Twitter? Any order over $100, if you use code Piney or Pine. You get free shipping on your orders.
That is true.
Who doesn't like to save money? Because that money you can save on shipping, you could buy some more piney apparel. So
big brain.
Yeah.
Big facts. So you guys.
That was the introduction, right?
Yeah, that
let's
was
go.
It. That
was it, so. I want to hear the Piney story. Let's go.
I need for you to pump the brakes right now, okay? You know, did you? We talk about this when I did the first one with him and with Blaze, and I was like, you know, what's famous for, you know, Belgium, and you know their thing was, you know, do you know that that Blaze actually was a competitive inline skater that almost went pro, Piney?
I did not.
Did you know that that was a thing?
Competitive inline skater. Competitive.
Yeah, I was a street skater. I was jumping on rails, like doing flips from stairs, you know, grinding on benches. Yeah, that was me. I was sponsored by K2 for a while, and then by Roshi's. No,
you.
First by Roshi's. But anyways, yeah, not my story. Let's continue.
Oh, sorry, I have to ring him in sometime. I apologize. But you know, like I said, once again, thank you guys very much for Piney for you know agreeing to do this. And I don't know what to. I'm going to mute my mic and just say, you guys and gals, this is the story of Piney from his perspective.
Well, let's see. The first thing that I think it's important to talk about is how I got into gaming in general. I touched briefly on this earlier in my stream, but one of the biggest contributing factors to me becoming a gamer at a very early on was my dad. So my dad was an electrical engineer. He also studied part of nuclear energy. And he was basically just this big nerd. He's a big, lovable guy, a huge nerd, and a great father. And he loved Star Wars. And this kind of plays a part because in the early, you know, 90s, a lot of Star Wars games came out on PC. And having a PC at that time was a big deal. You know, it's like the old, like, you know, Pentium PCs and, you know, basically the grassroots of PC gaming. And my dad was obsessed with it. So he had it. He had a PC early on. He always played these Star Wars games, and my brother and I would play them with him. And basically just growing up from an early age, I played, you know, a bunch of video games. It started with Star Wars, and then during my childhood, there was stuff like Pokemon. Pokemon became really popular. And it all kind of just played more and more. You know, Game Boys came out. You know, there was obviously Nintendo 64, Sega. And since he was such a nerd and just knew that we loved it, he would just work very hard to be able to get these things for us. And so I was very fortunate that even though we weren't the most, like, well-off family, he would just work really hard to, you know, get, like, a Christmas present, save up the entire year, get, like, one of these consoles. And it started my love for gaming early. He continued to support my gaming up in, like, in my youth into my teenage years. I moved on to things like GameCube, you know, Smash Brothers, and then I moved on to stuff like Xbox. And Xbox is really when the competitive side of me came out. There was games like Halo 3, which was, you know, revolutionary for my generation, and Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare 2. And what I understood, or what I got from these games, is that, you know, there was good people, there was good players and bad players, and I didn't want to fall into the latter. And so in Halo, I was able to climb up to the max rank in those playlists, which at the time was a 50, you know, like a general rank. And I was maybe like a young kid at the time, 12, 13, and I was able to get to this rank with ease. And it dawned on me that, you know, maybe I'm pretty good. You know, maybe I'm pretty good at this. You know, I started getting a little competitive. And funny enough, I actually would start challenging kids at my school for, like, one-on-ones. Like money, you know, like money one-on-ones.
Oh, so, and you had your own little 1v1 battle royales going on.
Yeah, so I would 1v1 them. And if they lost, they got added to a loser's list in my bio. And so that's people wanted to be the first one to knock me down, you know, at my school.
Wait,
they wanted to be...
You were teasing those little kids?
Yeah, I'm joking. I was. And no one at the school could beat me. And I just, like, it kind of, like, so I was like, okay, maybe I'm actually pretty decent.
Was this a toxic Piney?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I was young and I was just like... Oh man, this is good.
You got a you made my loser's bio. Thanks. I need a new notebook.
Yeah, a little basically whoever lost to me in the 1v1. And then it came to a point where I was like, you know, like, how do people record? You know, how do people like record their gameplay, like besides like holding a camera up to it? And at the time there was what's called a Dazzle PVR and a Hapog capture card. Both of them were like kind of like expensive like capture cards basically at the time to record. And I saved up, my dad saved up, and I eventually got a capture card and would start recording these games, these, you know, one-on-ones or these high kill Call of Duty games I got. And
I gotta know, which one was it you got?
I got the Dazzle first. I had the
Do you still have your Dazzle?
I don't. It's probably in storage, if anything.
I still have my Dazzle.
Yeah, it's like the little white tier. Little yes. Capture. Yep. And so I had that.
You got to frame that, actually, no?
Yeah. And then eventually, when I got a little bit more into it, I saved up for the Hapog HD PVR, and then that was, like, game-changing. And so I actually had, like, an old YouTube channel that had, like, a bunch of Halo gameplay and Call of Duty, like, old stuff from when I was a kid. Up, but it recently got hacked by I don't even know, and I tried to find it again. It's basically just gone. Another account just took it, and all the footage is gone, unfortunately. But that basically kind of started my, you know, intro into recording gameplay, into competitive, and what would be, you know, kind of like the rest of my life.
One question: was your nickname already Pineapples?
No,
from the beginning.
No.
What was it?
Yeah.
What was it?
We gotta know.
Please, we gotta know.
My very first gamer tag wasn't anything crazy. It was Miggy 08, Miggy 08, or like 08. So, I think that was the year maybe I made the account, maybe in 08, maybe. But that was like my first official gamer tag. The name Pineapple came later on in around my ending in high school. It was probably like Black Ops 1, I want to say.
Great game.
My friends wanted matching names. And so we chose Fruit. And I don't know why we chose Fruit. The QP in my name was actually our clan. And it was Quality Fruits. But Fruits was with a PH. And that was our clan. And so there was a grapple somewhere in the mix.
I'm sorry.
There was a cran apple. I don't know. Basically, like, everyone like kind of did like these fruit themed names, but it was juice. It was like, so like my name was Pineapple Juice. It wasn't Pineapples. And it wasn't until later on that I condensed it down to Pineapples, and then I kept the QP, and it was just, I don't know, it was just readily available and I liked it. Like, I've never been like a, I always wanted like a, just like a unique name.
You see, that's so. what I was going to ask. I was like, where the QP? Where did that? Yeah. Well, now you guys know. If you guys out there are listening to this, you ever want to know why Piney has a QP, now you know.
And then nowadays, you know, I just say, oh, it helps for, you know, Google search results. Or I say the Q stands for quality. I don't really go into the whole quality fruits thing. But that is the technical origin of my name. So
we were at the recording part, right? Where you were talking about.
Started recording a lot more, uploading footage, and then I kind of fell off of FPS games. Like, I think my Xbox maybe got Red Ring of Death, and I stopped playing Xbox. A side note, too, is that, like, we talked about how my dad always loved PCs and games like that. In second grade, I was introduced to World of Warcraft at the end of which was the vanilla expansion before Burning Crusade. So I was like maybe 7 or 8, and I went over to my friend's house to do some homework, and his parents, both the husband and the wife, were playing WoW together. And I was like, what is this? This looks awesome. And so I, you know, asked them, and they told me, and then I went home and told my dad. And I was like, I want to play this. And so he made it happen. He found a cheap graphics card on Craigslist, threw it in our PC, and helped me install 8 discs of World of Warcraft. And I started playing at a young age with my best friend. My best friend also got into it. And we played pretty much every year up until We still jump on and play on occasion, but I'm bringing this up because after high school and my competitive kind of like FPS style, I got really into PC gaming. So I started, you know, I wanted to play more WoW at like a high level. I wanted to play WoW at like a top 1% level. And then I wanted to play League of Legends at a top level. And I started doing really good in WoW. I got pretty high ranked, and I started doing pretty good in League and got pretty high ranked. And that's when I started, like, I wanted to get better. So you obviously you start researching. That's when I discovered Twitch. And I basically saw these people playing video games. Like, you know, they had a camera, they were just playing games, having fun. And like they had chats, they had, you know, donations, they had like a community. And I was just like, I could do this.
It was like a whole new world for the gamers out there. Yeah.
I was like, I could do this, you know, like, you know, the seed is planted and I could do this, right? And so I continued doing my stuff in high school. I worked a pretty good job. I started out as a swim teacher at the YMCA. And then I was like the top rated teacher at my, division or whatever it's called, like the YMCA. I had like the best success rate. So they were wondering why I was so good at teaching, and it just kind of like came naturally to me. So they asked if I wanted to start teaching their robotics program. And so like I learned like their Lego robotics, it's NZXT. It's just like basic programming and building and stuff like that. But I basically, I'd go around and teach kids how to build these Lego robots. And it was a good paying job for a kid out of high school. And so I started, you know, saving up all that money, working hard, and I eventually, you know, would build a PC with those funds. At the time, I was gaming on a quote-unquote gaming laptop, playing some League of Legends and World of Warcraft on low graphics and making it do. And so then this is where things get crazy. So it's 2014. I'm on a gaming laptop. I'm working my job. I'm saving up money for a PC. I get into a crazy car crash. I get T-boned with my girlfriend at the time. We get hit by a truck. And I basically, you know, tore up my body. I was like a mess. Little backstory to this too. In high school, I was obese. I was pretty fat. All I did was play games. So I was around 300 pounds in high school, maybe by my sophomore year. And by my senior year, I dropped down to 180. I did swimming, wrestling, water polo, and I dropped like 120 pounds in like a year or so. And I got really in shape.
Wait. Did you say water polo? Did you say water polo? You're my best friend from now on.
Oh, I played water polo.
I played in first division in Belgium.
He was talking about that because
I was a goalie.
He was trying to tell you that you need to lose some weight there, Blaze. That's what he was trying to tell you.
Since my move to Bruges and my divorce and everything, I stopped playing because I'm a veteran now in between brackets, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do miss it, man. I do miss it. But it like my club is too far from here, you know.
It was like one of the most intense things I had ever done in my life, for sure.
I tell people it's one of the hardest sports out there to train.
Yep.
It's Spartan training. And people are like, yeah, right. It's just in a swimming pool, you know. I'm like, no, man. No.
Can't touch the side. Man. 30 plus minutes, an hour of treading water. Being able to kick, doing sprint. Oh, man. So
man, I got one hour of practice just swimming, and then then 1 hour of water polo. After that, like every training, like I used to be a semi-professional soccer player, like you guys call it. I say football player. Like my muscles never hurt after practice, but every time after water polo, I freaking cramped up.
Are you trying to make me take a nap right now? Because
yeah, go take I'm a nap. Anyways, exhausted. Continue your story. Exhausted. I'm just hyped. He played water polo.
I know. As soon as he said that, I was like, "Here we go." Podcast.
Let's go. Okay, water polo.
Okay, so I did water polo, wrestling, and swimming, and dropped a bunch of weight. Okay, and then after high school, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident, you know, on top of it with games, on top of it with physical health, life is good. Then that car crash happens. I'm, you know, leaving like a restaurant, just pulling out, and then a guy ran a red light, slammed into the side of my car. And you know, it just sent me into a whirl. I remember the car spinning and looking up, and I'm on the wrong side of the road. The tire is barely moving. I had to get, you know, my girlfriend to safety, and it was just chaos. And I didn't realize how much damage had been done to my body. You know, like I was still feeling good and fit, but it definitely took a toll. You know, like my shoulders are pretty jacked up, my back, my hip, and a lot of it's been, you know, in a uphill battle working to fix that. You know, physical therapy, exercise, stuff like that now. But what happened was after that car crash, the girlfriend I was with eventually broke up with me. And, you know, it sent me into a really, really dark depression. I was depressed. I started getting professional help. And I basically stopped going to college. I basically didn't want to work. I just basically lost all motivation. My body was tore up. I felt like I couldn't do anything. And then I just, in that depression, I remembered Twitch. And so I started watching streams. I started watching stuff like CDN the Third or Trick2G, a couple of the OG ones. I have like probably about 6 years of followage and subs. Those are some of the first people I saw, and I just remember seeing like, damn, like these guys are fucking, they're hilarious, they're funny, they're engaging. It's like, I want to do that. I want to be a streamer. And so I had to convince my dad and my mom. I was like, look at these guys, watch them, they play video games, right? But look, here, look at them. They get donations. They're getting subscriptions. They get support. They're doing what I do, but better. And I said, look, I was in a meeting with my therapist and my two parents. And I said, give me 1 year. Give me 1 year to chase this dream. And let me see what happens. If I don't succeed, then I'll go back to university. I'll continue my studies. And that would be that. And they agreed. They said, okay, you get 1 year. So I went on medical leave from college, and I took 1 year to start streaming. I initially wanted to be an I initially wanted to be a League of Legends streamer. And then once I was getting everything set up, H1Z1 came out. Early 2015, January, February, H1Z1 came out. And I said, damn, that looks like a fun game. What's Battle Royale? And little did I know that everything would change after that. I started playing on my gaming laptop that I had and was saving up for the PC. And I was terrible. I was terrible. It was my first PC FPS game. And I was awful. I didn't think I'd win a game until my first 100-something hours. I got a 4-kill solo game, and I was pumped, and I was addicted. And I just kept playing over
that's,
and over.
That's my such laptop. A relief. Now I don't feel bad. It took me 3 months.
Yeah, I was terrible. I think it took me 100 hours at least to get my first win in H1.
But yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this in like every guest.
The feeling that you got your first
Battle Royale.
I had it live in my stream. My dog, he was still a puppy. He thought I was going to destroy everything around him. I was so happy.
Yeah. No,
that feeling is incredible.
Absolutely crazy feeling. And I was addicted, you know. And then I was like, all right, I want to stream this game. I think I could stream this game. And so I, you know, started. I saved up and I started streaming initially on my laptop, but it would only last for about 2 hours before it overheated and died. And then I just kept trying to get better. And then I finally got a PC. I finally saved up, built my own PC, and I was ready. Booted up OBS, booted up H1Z1, and I started. You know, I was there was no alerts, there was no panels. It was just me and a decent microphone playing some H1. And things started changing and I started getting better. Well, the immediate difference was, you know, going from the laptop to the PC. I was like, wow, this game is way easier. And I started getting really good. And then I started grinding leaderboards, started getting some recognition. And, you know, I went up to like 5 viewers, 10 viewers, a little bit more. Yeah, I put TTV in my name, and worked and I worked and I worked and I worked every day. What do you call it? Then they did the invitational the first time around. It was in San Francisco. I wasn't a part of that one, but I watched it. I was like, oh, this is cool. Look at all this money. You know, look at all the money involved. Look at all these people. This is sick. And so for the next...
I'm sorry to interrupt there.
What up?
But that's... If we go back, Bobby, to when we were talking, that's also what marked me in H1Z1, that invitational 216.
Mm-hmm.
That was so awesome. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm going to cry. So, I miss H1.
Yeah.
So, make H1 great again.
Daybreak released this post. They said, we're going to be doing our second invitational, our second major tournament. And they said, we're doing it like a competition style. They released the Take Your Shot competition, and it was basically... You have 30 seconds. You can make a 30-second video to prove why you deserve to be in the tournament. And so I was like, you know, maybe I should try making something. And so on maybe like the last or second to last day of the tournament, I submitted a video, 30 seconds, with some of my good clips, some of the more creative ones I've done. And I won. I won the tournament, and so the prizing was an all-expense-paid trip to TwitchCon that year, a spot in the tournament, and, you know, they took care of me, you know, everything, you know, hotel, food, flight, and they flew me out. And many of you guys don't know that, or might not know, but, like, this was, like, basically the first big break. After the tournament, I placed, I think it was like sixth or seventh around there. And I won, $8,000 from the invitational. And I remember just coming home and being able to tell my parents, like, look, there it is. Big check.
This is a viable thing.
This is viable. Here's this check. Here's proof that I did it. I've been recognized not only by the developers, but by my peers. And then the stream started popping off, and, you know, so many people got to see not just like my video that I won with, but the announcement that they did. Now, this is one of the moments that basically changed my life. The way they told me that I won the tournament, I was playing a game on stream. I'm sitting there. I got my camera on. I'm playing some H1. You know, I think I'm chasing someone with a combat knife, something silly. And all of a sudden, I get a loading screen. And I'm like, what the hell is happening?
You're banned.
I thought I got in trouble. And then I'm
back. I know. In the starting lobby. I saw that clip, honestly. But like, continue.
I thought I was in the starting lobby. And I'm just like, what? But the game was still going on. So I was like, all right, something's up. And out of nowhere, this character model flies down from the sky. And his name was Bronstad, an awesome, awesome dude. And he goes, hey, and I see his name with like the big Daybreak logo. And I'm like, uh-oh. And he goes, do you know why I brought you here? Do you know why you're here in the lobby right now? And I'm like, no. And he goes, I'm here to tell you that you won the Take Your Shot contest. You're going to be going to TwitchCon. And I just like, I lost it. You know, my hands are shaking. I'm screaming. I'm so happy.
And did you flex it, like you did for your
I think my hands were just shaking. Like I couldn't believe it. I basically started crying because it reaffirmed everything that I had been working for, you know, at that point, like the dream that I chased that 1 year, you know, it really set into stone. Like this is happening. You know, this is real. This is, you know, my opportunity. And so, of course, I took it and I ran with it and I started doing really well. I started streaming way more. We started getting up there in viewers. We started working towards getting partner. At the time, affiliate didn't exist, so becoming a Twitch partner was a huge deal. I got partnered on Halloween of 2016. So coming up on 4 years now of being a Twitch partner. And life was good. I had started doing it, you know, making it more stable. I got to leave my job at the YMCA. My physical health was tanking heavily. So I wasn't, you know, I was streaming like 18 hours a day minimum. And I would grind the leaderboards all day. I became rank one in the world for kills on multiple occasions. I grinded the leaderboards a lot in tons of seasons. And basically just stapled and cemented myself as one of the legends of H1Z1. And I would continue to stay with H1Z1 for a long time. I got my first opportunity to play professionally. I played for the Org Denial. That one exactly didn't play out in our favor, but it was my first entryway into professional play. I got to go through Fight for the Crown, which is a nationally televised tournament. I got DreamHack Atlanta, DreamHack Sweden, Twitch cons, and basically started competing around the world, started making genuine real money, started being able to support my family, my mom and dad a little bit more, you know, help pay bills, help them get stuff that they want. You know, I was trying to give back. This was the first time in my life that I ever experienced real money. You know, we grew up relatively poor, you know, after everything, my dad was basically raising us as a single father. My mom is sick with multiple sclerosis, or MS, if you guys are familiar with that. So she's not like 100% capable to always take care of us. So it basically became, me trying to take care of them. And so I continued with my success and I found a lot of numbers, you know, a lot of numbers that people would want on Twitch. You got up there into the thousands of viewers or up there into the thousands of subscribers. And it was like a dream come true. Everything was going good, except I was a young adult with a lot of money and not really any guidance. So I was just, you know, having fun. I'd upgrade my PCs, I'd upgrade my equipment, just having a good time with it. And things continue like this for a while until H1 started its decline. You know, H1 eventually fell from grace. It wasn't the best battle royale. You know, there was other contenders. And it started like a harsh decline. You know, the player base started dropping. The viewers started dropping. Pretty much everything started dropping. And Fortnite, you know, PUBG came out. Then Fortnite came out. And basically, everyone had jumped ship. But, you know, I loved H1. And I loved it up until the end. But I didn't jump ship. And basically, I stayed with it until it.
I just want to say I admired you for that, because I used to come in your stream still, you know, and I was like, he just keeps on going, and he loves this game so much, you know. I really admired admired it.
I mean, I think everyone that, even though, and that's for you guys that don't know, that's how I met Piney. When I was an esports manager with Apotheon Esports, I was looking to put together a team, and people were like, hit up Pineapples. And I'm like, this guy's not going to know who I am. I remember sliding into your DMs as guys sliding into your DMs. I send you a message like, hey, I'm looking for some players to pick up for this competitive H1 team, H1 league. And then, like, I want to say probably like 15 minutes later, I see this guy responded to me. And I'm like, this dude is cool. I mean, because you were just like, not only were you dedicated to the game, you were dedicated to the game's success. And, you know, kudos to you, because you a lot of people walked away from the game, but you didn't, man. And I think as much people have an issue with H1 or what happened to it, it's like it's like that first girlfriend, you know, that dumped you for like your best friend, but when she calls you, you go out with her, you know. That's kind of how it is, you know. But then that's how I met you, Piney. And then when I met you at DreamHack Atlanta, I was like, this guy is real, you know. I mean, he could have been like oh, yeah, you were like, yeah, I know who you are. And I'm like, oh, my God, he knows me. He knows me. And I was like, this was like.
He's starting to fanboy again.
No, in a way, from the competitive side of H1, you were kind of the face of for competitive H1. And, like, I remember in the CW, you know, in the Fight for the Crown, your team were all on on quads. And you're like, I remember the Zoom in, they're like, we're all on quads. You're like, I can dig it. This will work, you know? And I was like, that's it, you know? Because, like, I think you were, like, the face of competitive H1Z1.
Yeah, a lot of people definitely had me up there, you know? And I've always, like, my dad basically raised me with the, you know, he instilled these rights into me basically to let go of any hatred or grudges. You know, like I said, he was very into Star Wars. So, you know, it was like the way of the Jedi was to not give in to this hatred, to not really, you know, let this, you know, those feelings take over your body, because then you just don't, you're just not you anymore. You become someone else. And so at a very early on, I just learned to be able to let go. You know, I'm human. You know, I still get angry. You know, I still feel these raw emotions. But I've just got so much better into, like...
Hi, everybody. It's me, Bobby, from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm going to tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it. And I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple. And not only that, I got some H1 Ninjas in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today. And I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads. Accessories.
Let me ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. Well, guess what? XtraFi's got you covered 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world, Asia, NA, Europe. They got you covered. So, you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Frag and Laggin podcast send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably not using XtraFi gear.
The best expression I could say is that losers blame other people for their mistakes. Winners reflect on their mistakes and improve upon them. And that is a mindset that I've had my entire life. If something happens to me, I figure out what went wrong. What did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? Whereas people that get stuck in the mud blame others, and they deflect, they don't take responsibility, and I've just always felt that way. I show love to other people. I show respect because I care about people. I am genuine towards other people because I care. You are a person in my life. You will have an impact one way or another, and I'll do my best to not only remember you, but take time to learn about you, to hear your story, or to just be there. Like, I don't hold myself to a higher caliber because I am a quote-unquote, you know, pro player or famous streamer or whatever. That doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I'm just Miguel. I'm a regular dude. And that's
with a beautiful smile and voice.
That's just what I want to be. I just want, and that's like who I want to be. I want to be that person that not only you can go to for help, but someone that you can expect to have your back. And that's just, you know, I've always wanted to be that way. I want people to look at me as someone who is inspiring, who, you know, who just shows that it's possible to really be, you know, kind just and different be you. Out there. Yeah, exactly. You can just be you and find, you know, yourself. Find success. Like, I see so many people that just want to fake it until they make it. But themselves aren't bad at all. But they just are. They don't. They just want to cookie cutter it. You know what I mean?
There's no longevity in not being yourself. Then you're being disingenuous to everyone around you. Whereas I'd rather have somebody that I can look at and be like, you know what? I like this guy. You know, what I'm seeing when you're streaming, when I'm seeing when you're doing YouTube or whatever it is like, that's what I kind of like pride myself on being. And it's nice to know that I'm not the only one out there, is that what you see is what you get. There's no act there. You know, it would be so easy to be like, I made it on my own. I did this. I did that. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to block you, or, you know, please don't talk to me. But, you know, that instance when I messaged you and you responded, I was like, okay, this is a guy's guy, you know, because you could tell that you care, you know, and there's not enough people that care. There's too many people that will sell out their friend for 5 minutes of fame. And you're in it for the haul. I respect it, man. Yeah. Kudos to you, man.
My encounter was different, but I also want to share this smaller story. But like, I was getting into H1. I was in a bad spot in my life also, kind of thing. But I was getting into H1 and I wanted to get better. And I was like asking around, I want to watch a streamer that's not too big, but that's really good at the game at that point of time. And I want to ask him stuff, you know, and they told me, go to Piney. So I went to Pineapple stream, followed him. It's almost 4 years ago. And sorry. I followed you. I came into your stream. I don't know, there were 40 people or whatever. And you kind of streamed sometimes EU-friendly because you tend to mess up your sleep schedule sometimes.
Mm-hmm. No, the leaderboards would reset at midnight. So I grind them.
Okay, that's why. So I was actually at my job in between brackets, and you were on my third screen, and I was always watching and listening. And, you know, when I had a moment, I was like typing in chat, and that's how I met you. And then the first opportunity I had to go to TwitchCon to be at the Invitational, actually, there was this Twitch pre-party. And I was there, and, you know, it's my first ever TwitchCon and my first ever, like, outside of a EU Twitch party. I've done the ones at DreamHack before that, but it's different. And I was there, and I see this guy, and I'm like, this guy, that's Miguel, that's Pineapples. And I walked up to him, and we were both in a shirt, and it was actually pretty hot at Long Beach that time.
Yeah.
I was like, we got to take a picture now. You looked at me and you're like, oh, you're Blaze, you know, and then you took that picture. And every event after, we always, you know, instantly hit it off, took another picture to remember the event together. And I don't know, you've always been so kind to me, and just, you've just been you, you know. I never felt at any point you were not you. You know what I'm saying? You just feel so... Sorry for my bad English. I'm trying to search the word genuine. Yeah, genuine, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I always feel it comes from your heart. You're just being you. And that's a really, really good and awesome quality. And I hope you always keep that, man. I really do. There, I'm done. I'm going to cry now in a corner.
But I want to thank Piney's H1 video. Like, a lot of the players are like, dude, do you want to get a little bit? Yeah, they always give me a hard time. They're like, you're probably never going to be really good at this game, but go watch Piney's videos. And I was like, all right. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy makes sense now. This guy makes sense now. Everything makes sense now. You know, making sense.
And the voice, right? The voice was so for me. One of the first things I wrote in his chat was, you got a radio voice.
Yeah, he does.
That was one of the first things.
Make sure you guys are following him on Instagram and go watch his like strategy, the way he does things. And I'm serious. His voice is like, okay, I'm gonna follow this guy. He makes sense. So, but I think everyone feels the same way about you, Piney, man. It's like, you're like that guy that, you know, you meet, you know, 10 years ago, and then, you know, 10 years later, you're like, hey, what's going on, man? I remember you, blah, 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 blah. That, yeah, let's go. You want to hang out? And I'm like, all right, cool, yeah. So it's just a test. It's a really a testament to you and everything, like how your parents raised you, your mentality. And it's been confirmed on this podcast, Piney is a Jedi. He is a Jedi.
He's a Jedi. 100%. Or the son of a Jedi, right?
Yeah. Man, I need a midichlorian check over on and from Piney, please. So.
Off the charts.
Let's get back to the story. So the demise of H1Z1, right?
So now we're at an interesting chapter in my life because it's only been up. But you can only go up so far until you come crashing down. So H1 died almost. But at the very end of the tunnel, they announced the Pro League. And I was like, huh, it's pretty cool. And, you know, everyone was pretty much jumping ship. No one thought it would actually happen. Right at the time I moved to Las Vegas. I got a place with my current girlfriend, Bree. And we have basically, we've been out here for the last 3 years. I was fortunate enough that... the H1Z1 Pro League ended up being out in Vegas, and so we had like a wild adventure out here with Pro League and all of that. But during the time of Pro League and everything, you know, my stream was dying. You know, I went from a lot of viewers to a lot less viewers, and I had to take some time, and you know, like that took a toll on the mental. You know, like, it's basically like you kind of start seeing like your dream dying and you're not sure what's going on. And obviously I knew what was going on because it was H1 and I should have jumped, but I just couldn't find it in me to like bail. And I stayed all the way up until the end of the Pro League, the end of H1, basically, and stayed all the way to the end. And, you know, the numbers suffered. I'd lost most of my subs. I lost most of my viewers. And it took a toll on my mental, so I kind of stopped streaming. It basically became a chore to stream, and then every time I did, it was just like, what happened to all the viewers? Where did everyone go? What happened? And, you know, those comments wear you down, for sure. So I stopped streaming as much. Then I suffered my first, like, a couple of tragic losses. One of my close best friends had committed suicide, and then shortly, a few months later, my dad died of a heart attack. So basically I lost one of my closest buddies and my mentor, and was lost. I was lost for a long time. And, you know, I wasn't making content. I wasn't working out, gained a bunch of weight. I was really depressed and just kind of, you know, the dreams were dead up until a point. You know, I didn't think I would be a streamer. I didn't have plans on being a pro player. I basically just kind of started burning up whatever money, I had, saved up to just sustain that lifestyle that I was so, you know, so missing. And now, you know, now we are at about a year or so after my dad died. And I'm kind of like working my way back. Warzone came out in March. Warzone was the first battle royale that really caught my eye again. Of course, I played everything in between, you know, Fortnite, Apex, Ring of Elysium. God, I don't know. I played everything. Tried to look
Fear the Spark. Wolves. Fear the Wolves. Did you
I did
do that?
Did not play Fear the Wolves. Mm-mm.
Oh, that was a funny game.
Talk about Fear the Wolves.
Then,
right.
Well, you couldn't connect to it, loser.
That's because it didn't have an NA server. It was all EU servers.
Well, for once, they thought about EU, right?
So, anyway.
And so I played everything in between, looking for that same spark, looking for something to stream. Anytime that I tried to stream again, you know. If you don't know, if you stop streaming on Twitch for an extended period of time, it's basically career suicide. It's very hard to keep viewers' attentions. I mean, obviously, and plus people are...
I can talk about that.
People, like, move on. You know, I have, like, a good amount of followers and stuff from, you know, H1, but that doesn't mean that they're all still on Twitch. It doesn't mean they're all still into games. They know who I am, you know. So people change. Time moves on. So do people. And so I basically came back to Warzone and I had, I don't know, 10 viewers, 15 viewers. And considering back in the day, people would expect me to have 1,000 to 2,000 viewers, it was a big difference. Thankfully, at some point in this time, I got a job. I was working for a company. I won't really go too much into this, but I was working a job, and it made streaming easier. Like, you know, I wasn't, what do you call it? I wasn't panic. I wasn't worried about streaming for money, you know, making it a job. I was just going to stream for fun and to see what happened. And so I started playing Warzone while working my job, and then I got addicted. You know, I got addicted to Warzone, and I started playing with some new people, you know, reached out to some people I'd never actually played with before in H1, but we started playing together, which is Pyman and Austin. And we started playing just a bunch, and I started streaming, and then, you know, slowly but surely, you know, the numbers kind of started building up. I started kind of feeling a little bit more confident. I would put out some content, and the real ignition tick was TikTok, believe it or not.
The addiction.
Oh, yeah. TikTok. So I saw Bree, my girlfriend, was on TikTok a bunch just watching videos, and I was like, do people put, like, you know, gaming stuff on TikTok? And she's like, yeah, a little bit. Like, people put their clips and stuff like that. And it was basically people putting, like, their 1920 by 1080, like, full screen clips on, like, a phone, and it looked horrible. And I was like, why do people put their clips like that? She's like, I don't know, that's just how everyone does it. And I was like, why don't people put it full screen? And she was like, I don't know, people just don't do it. And I was like, well, should I do that? And she's like, no, I don't think so. And I...
What is support?
Yeah. Well, no. She didn't say I shouldn't. I'm joking. She wanted me to upload, but she didn't think that I should do it differently than everyone else was doing. And I was like, I'm going to try it like this. I just think it's going to look nice. This is how I would want to look at the clip. And so I started this basically like a different like resolution. Basically, all my clips were full screen. As you could just like look at it on your phone. You could see exactly what was happening. And out of nowhere, just my TikTok just started blowing up. I just started putting, you know, good, like, and, you know, I was good. So I started putting like multi-kills or like funny clips and stuff. And it just started blowing up. And I just started getting a crazy big fan base on
your TikTok. How-to series, right?
Yeah, I did. I went back to my roots and I did like a how-to.
How many were there? There were a lot.
30, I think 30 videos, and all of them have like millions of views. And
I watched them all, man.
It basically snowballed, you know, my TikTok. I went from zero followers at all to right now I'm at about 350,000 followers on TikTok in the span of a few months. And then it just kind of started snowballing the Twitch again. And I would stream every day, upload TikToks, and then people would be like, hey, I saw your TikToks, or hey, like, all these new fans would just start coming in from TikTok, and my stream numbers went up. And I went from 10 viewers up to 20, up to 30, up to 40, up to 50, up to 60, you know, up and up and up and up. And now I'm generally around, I'm back up to about 150 to 200 viewers now, about 4 months into Warzone. So it's not where I was, but the feeling of getting back to, you know, even being able to do this consistently to a good community has been very, very reassuring, reaffirming. I feel like my, you know, my dream is thriving again. And I've taken a lot of steps in 2020. There was a lot that happened, right? You know, everyone's in quarantine. There's COVID going on. It's a brand new game. TikTok. It was like just like this huge cluster of things that happened. A huge cluster of things that happened for the success to be where it is. But I just, again, I took it and I run with it. Except this time, I have the experience from all the mistakes I made the first time around. You know, not playing other games, not advertising or doing well on other social medias, you know, not editing and doing my own content, you know, reaching out, doing stuff like this. I said, no, I'm going to do all of that this time. And so now I'm like really active on all social medias and redirect to my Twitch. I collaborate and play with a bunch of other people. And what we talked about earlier, you said that people have this, you said that even in 10 years, if you saw me, you would still have that respect and, you know, for me and that feeling towards me. And a lot of my friends from the last 5 years that have known me now are supporting me and pushing me to put that dream again. You know, there's so many people up there who have like hosted me for thousands of viewers and have really started to push me back into the spotlight. And all because of who I was in the past and that I've never changed. I've just been that guy that they still love. And so I've been getting pushed, you know, by, you know, a bunch of people. They want to support me and push me back into the spotlight. And I'm just trying to do what I can to keep the ball rolling. One of the most important things for me this year, though, is not just to focus on the content and the finances, but I've also focused on myself. It's kind of like the year of self-repair, self-care. And so I basically have gone on this life challenge for myself. It's been about 2 weeks now for me, which is a big deal. But I eat clean. It's no fast food, no sugar. I exercise every single day. I do cardio. I do weightlifting. I don't drink. The euphemism I use is strolling through the garden. That was probably my biggest vice. I would a crutch, a very bad habit for me, and it was just a constant routine for me. And so I cut that out. I basically cut out every negative part of my real life, and I'm like, all right, if I'm gonna do this content thing, I'm gonna do it. If I can work this hard to get good at a video game or get the best gear in World of Warcraft or become the best FPS player, why don't I put that much energy into my own body? It's so stupid. Like, why don't I put that energy into myself? And so I just...
It's like an all-in mentality.
And I, you know? Yeah. And so...
And you can follow it on your Instagram stories every day.
Yeah, exactly. I post updates.
I love watching them.
It's just become this, it's not just for me anymore, because now people are looking at me as this source of, you know, inspiration. They just saw me just get up and decide one day, like, hey, I don't want to be fat and unhealthy anymore. They were like, what? And now I'm walking 5 miles a day. I'm eating really clean. I'm dropping weight. I'm gaining muscle. It's just like, it's been just like this crazy turn of events. So it's 2020 has been the year of the comeback, the self-repair, the patching up all the holes in the career, you know, reaffirming friendships, making new ones, and really just finding who Pineapples is again. Who am I as a person? Who am I as a gamer, as a content creator? And I'm doing it. And like I'm running with it. I'm very much running with it now. I'm honestly so happy for you, man.
I'm really crazy. Happy for you. I don't know if you remembered, but a few months back when you were like starting, I saw that you were starting to grow again, right? But I've always been in and out your streams through whatever period. But do you remember when I wrote you that I was happy for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I meant that. I was so happy to see you smile again. A few weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, you decided to put your camera back on. I wrote to you that I was happy. It really makes me happy to see you smile, dude. Like you actually, sounds maybe weird, but you actually inspire me too.
I don't think this sounds weird at all. I'm happy because I know you've been through the struggles of having, you know, viewers and then not having viewers and then trying to find yourself. It's difficult. And especially since you also went through, you know, things in real life that slowed you down or that you just couldn't, you know, it's just impossible. You know what it's like mm-hmm. to be in that dark spot. And like I said, coming back, it just feels so daunting and stuff like that. But
I mean,
it's possible.
It just goes to show is that, you know, in life, I mean, we're all adults is that you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to get shoved in the mud. And you guys, I mean, you know, I've been through my own little personal demons and, you know, bad things in life. And we just chose to get back up. And you're going to get knocked down again. And you just keep getting back up. And just like, you know, like Blaze is saying, is that it's awesome to see your camera back on. Because I firmly believe that, like, a smile... As weird as it may seem, a smile is an infectious thing and can change someone's outlook on anything in that moment. So, and to see your success, man, I'm very happy to be.
Imagine getting that 42 kill win and not having your camera on, man.
Yeah,
it's a big difference. Yeah. It's a big difference. I just mean, saying.
And before we go any further, you guys. Look, 2020 has not been very nice to a lot of people in this world and everybody. And no matter what, you guys could be in a bad place. All I can say is don't take a long-term solution for a short-term issue. Don't reach out to somebody. Talk to somebody. If you feel like you want to talk to somebody anonymously, please do me a favor and call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 1-800-273-8255. And if your friends are reaching out for help, you guys do be a friend and be there for them, okay? So.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a completely normal thing. We talked about it, and I talked about it earlier. I very much got professional help for years. I went through my struggles even before, you know, the career, and I don't regret it at all. If you need someone, there's help. There is help out there. And I want to just point out there that, you know, it sounds so corny. Everyone says this, but there really is another, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. There is something that's going to happen. You know, I went through lowest of the lows. I felt like, you know, getting, you know, losing, like, I went through some soul crushing moments. You know, I lost in the period of a year, my dream died, my dad died, and my career died. Okay. In a few months, it crushed my soul. I hit the lowest of lows. And then I just kept working. I just kept going. And it's possible to make something happen. It really, really is. And I hope if you guys are out there listening to the story, you know, I went through lows before the highs, and then they were super low, and now I'm going through the highs. That's life, and that's gonna affect you and every other person out there. There's gonna be highs and lows. The most important thing to take away from this is that if you get knocked down 7 times, you get back up 8. And
yeah,
I hope. Totally. I hope you guys can learn from that.
And if someone out there tells you can't do it, do me a favor. Is smile at them and prove them wrong. Because the only person that's going to stop you from achieving your goals is technically, it's only going to be you. So,
yeah, I was my own, you know, I was the person who stopped me the most, you know. I wasn't fully aware, but my habits, my diet, everything, you know, it was all stuff that I was doing to myself that just made life so much harder.
But you flipped the switch and you went all in. And
yep.
Look at you now. I mean, dude, thanks for being a huge inspiration to a lot of people out there, including myself, including Blaze.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's that 1 second, that chance encounter, that one thing you say to somebody that changes their outlook and their perspectives and gives them direction. So kudos to you, Piney. You're one solid dude, man. And if you can do me a favor, get a hold of the Jedi Network and clone yourself so we can have more people out there like you, because you've stayed real and you've never sold anybody out, and you just, what you see is what you get. And it's kind of awesome. It's like big full circle thing is that we're all fans of H1. Everybody that we've talked to so far has been around H1.
And yeah, or being influenced by it or whatever, you know.
Okay, I do have one question for you. Obviously, you started out on console and went to PC. And I've asked this to a couple people. Okay, on console, imagine this game in its heyday, the perfect time of it. What on console, if you had to play one game on console for the rest of your life, what game would that be?
Like an existing console game?
Any game.
No, like any game that was in its high, you know, in the best moment you were playing it, and you could keep playing it the way it was and the way it was, you know, whatever. But which game would you choose then?
If it was 360, if it was Atari, it doesn't matter.
Let's see. Honestly, I think probably like the most influential times and games for me was probably Halo 3. I became friends with some of like the coolest people, you know, like out there, that friends that I'm still with to this day. And I spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours playing that game. I think if I could just play it how it was, like, I know it's out now and I look at it with rose-colored goggles, but when I was in the mix of it, in the prime of it,
I don't think I'd trade any of those memories for the world. And I know a lot of people might be expecting H1, but...
Well, that's why I'm going to ask you.
For me, I want H1 to get a well-deserved rest. A lot of people ask me, Pine, do you miss H1? And the honest answer is no. I don't miss H1. Missing is the wrong word. I don't yearn for H1. I remember H1 fondly. I am grateful for H1 and the opportunities it gave me. But now it deserves to rest. And I think that's
the pasture.
Where, yeah, I think it just gets, it should just.
So if I was to ask you the same question, but on PC, you would not say H1.
I don't know.
Would it be WoW? Would it be LoL?
Probably H1, for the console. If not, it would maybe be Wrath of Lich King on WoW, just because that was like a big part of my life as well. You know, like my dad got involved with it, and I played all the time with like my best friends. And
I got to know. And I've asked a lot of my buddies this that were addicted to. I couldn't get into it. And it's funny is that Blaze has never played an MMO game.
So yeah, they keep teasing me with that.
Did you ever have a WoW girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay, everybody I know said either that was their first girlfriend or they've had WoW girlfriend.
It wasn't my first girlfriend, but yeah, no, I definitely would talk to ladies on World of Warcraft, yes. Or GIRLs. Boy, guy in real life, you know what I'm saying? So who knows?
Piney was a WoW Mac Daddy.
Yeah.
Listen to him.
Yeah, but it was an experience for sure.
Anytime you ever want to come back, Piney, you are more than welcome. And I want to say personally from me, not just Bobby, not Junkhead, is thank you for taking the time, especially after dropping a 42 bomb where you could have gone out and done whatever
you actually
wanted to do.
You stopped your stream to come to record a podcast with us.
And thank you for being a man of your word. It's there's not enough people like you, but and I'm sure Blaze sells the same sentiment I do. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to tell your story. Because there's some people that don't know your story. They may know bits and pieces and change their story, their spin on, your story. And like I said, is that when someone else tells your story, it's their story. You're just playing a role in it. But anytime, thank you very much, man. It is greatly appreciated. And anything else you want to,
Wait. Repeat it for me, Piney, or end the phrase for me. Losers blame others, winners.
Losers blame others for their mistakes. Winners will look at their mistakes, reflect on them, and improve.
That was awesome when you said that. I wrote that down.
he's going to get it tattooed now. Tattooed.
Yeah.
It's
I have
a
some
real
place
good
somewhere.
Mindset.
It is, man.
It is. But
we gotta title the podcast that way, I think.
Yeah. Did you
Perfect
write it down?
For me.
Did you write it down? Oh, yeah. Everyone gets their own little name for their podcast. So
love it.
And it's funny because by the time this comes out, obviously with Ark, I jokingly said this is the Cliff Notes version. So his podcast was called Ark Ligger, the Cliff Notes, So, from me and Blaze, thank you very much. Quick, once again, shout out your social media and whatever he says, you guys just go. There'll be in the link down below. I'm going to put his Linktree link. Just click every single thing. Show some support for the man because he is supporting a lot more people than you know. So, Piney.
From the bottom of my heart, Piney, thank you for joining us. And it's always a pleasure talking to you, playing with you, seeing you, hearing you, whatever. You're an awesome dude.
Dancing
man.
With him,
Yeah, that's for next time. Yeah. if Brizalia allows us,
Well, if you're gonna do it right, you better do it like the H1 days. You're dropping all the weapons, you're dropping all the clothes, you're going down to the skivvies and you're gonna dance it out. So
let's go. Anyway,
all right,
your outro. Let's go.
Just want to say thank you to the both of you guys for having me here on the podcast today. It was a pleasure being able to talk about my story and just feel like I can say anything and you guys would listen. And I really appreciate that. As always, you guys can check me out on most social medias. You guys can check me out on all social media. It's pretty much at Pineapples. A-Q-P-L-E-S. I'm sure they'll have a link down below. But other than that, I appreciate your guys' support, whether it's, you know, from H1 days or from the Warzone days.
And if you guys happen to have a Twitch Prime and you're not using it, go ahead and just slide over to Pineapple Stream and go ahead and use it. It's well worth it. So, as usual, thank you very much for me and Blaze and our little outro. Just remember, guys, if you ain't fragging,
you must be lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my God, a kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!